Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
NASDAQ gets the cold shoulder from London.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The London Stock Exchange is pressing ahead with its plan to link up with its counterpart in Tokyo. The move follows the failure over the weekend by NASDAQ to take over the London market. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The LSE's chief executive, Clara Furse, is clearly relieved that she's beaten off NASDAQ's takeover bid and is now turning her attention to forging an alliance, not a merger, with Tokyo. NASDAQ won the backing of less than 1% of the other LSE shareholders over the weekend. But Clara Furse should not rest on her laurels, says analyst David Buick.
Unless Mrs. Furse goes on the front foot, taking the LSE forward and being acquisitive rather than being prey for a predator, then I think we could see the share price drifting down below £12.
An alliance with Tokyo will not protect the LSE from another takeover bid, he says. Hedge funds now have a large stake in the London Exchange, and NASDAQ, hardly a friendly shareholder, says it will hang on to its holding. NASDAQ will be allowed to bid again after a year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There are reports the SEC is close to approving a big merger between the New York Stock Exchange and Paris-based Euronext. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
If approved, the merger between the NYSE and Euronext will create a $29 billion company with operations in New York, Paris, London, and Amsterdam. And in all likelihood, it will keep growing. The NYSE recently announced a new alliance with the Tokyo Stock Exchange and took a 5% stake in India's national exchange. Michael Henry follows the exchange business for Accenture. He says expansion will allow the NYSE to offer its customers more.
In order to be successful in the market of the future, you're going to need to have scale so you can provide lower transaction costs. You're going to need to have multiple products, and you're going to need to have multiple jurisdictions so you can offer listed companies a choice.
The two companies will have to bridge cultural differences and two different technology systems. If they succeed, the NYSE estimates the new company could save some $250 million. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Mrs. Paul's frozen fish is being gobbled up. Pinnacle Foods owns a number of companies, including Mrs. Paul's and Duncan Hines. The Wall Street Journal says the Blackstone Group is expected to buy Pinnacle. The price tag, $1.2 billion. Last week wasn't a good week for the market. The Dow was off by 0.5%. The NASDAQ was down 0.2%. On Friday, the Dow gave up 56 points to 12,580. The NASDAQ slid back 28 points to 2,459. And the S&P was off 10 points. It's at 1,438. Today, Intel will demonstrate an experimental computer chip processor capable of performing a trillion calculations a second. Intel says 10 years ago, it took 10,000 processors working in a 2,000-square-foot room to do the same job. It's hoped the device will become a mainstream processor in the next 5 years, but save your money. It's not for sale yet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Here's a sweet mystery for you to ponder. A mysterious illness is killing tens of thousands of honeybee colonies across the country. This is threatening honey production, the livelihood of beekeepers, and possibly crops that need bees for pollination. Reports of unusual colony deaths have come from at least 22 states. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is working with researchers to try and solve the problem. The political issue of immigration may not be on the front burner, but it's still on the stove. The Senate wants to reconsider a bill it passed last May that required some undocumented workers to leave but allowed others to stay. A California professor has joined the immigration debate. He thinks immigrant workers should be valued more because they can help ease the economic pressure soon to be created by retiring baby boomers. Nancy Marshall Genzer has a story.
A tsunami of aging baby boomers threatens to swamp our retirement system. Could waves of immigrants be the life raft we're looking for? Dowell Myers thinks so. He's a demographer at the University of Southern California. He says when the children of today's immigrants grow up, they'll help pay the taxes necessary to support boomers' retirements and take their places in the workforce.
Who else is going to replace them? The growth rate of the workforce plunges down to near zero nationwide right before the year 2020. And when it's zero nationwide on average, that means that some states are sucking wind and they're desperately clawing for every single worker they can get.
Problem is, Myers' immigrant life raft is expensive. The army of workers Myers envisions is still in elementary school. He says they and their parents, who are first-generation immigrants, need government help to succeed. But critics, such as John Keeley, disagree. He's with the Center for Immigration Studies, which favors immigration limits. Keeley says the center has crunched some federal numbers, and their take on the results doesn't look good.
Immigrants on an annual basis, legal and illegal, pay $16 billion a year in federal tax payments. The problem is they use $26 billion in government services. And so our immigration policy is a recipe for budget disaster.
But Myers, the demographer, sees an even bigger disaster if we don't help immigrants get college degrees. He says without that education, they won't be able to support the retired boomers.
The next generation might be less advantaged. It might be more Latino, less educated, and we're going to tax them much more heavily. So unless they're educated, they can't do it.
Myers is careful to say he doesn't want to increase the number of immigrants. He just wants to invest in those that are already here. That's one Myers points with some economists, including Jared Bernstein at the Economic Policy Institute.
These immigrants are assimilating and entering our schools, our middle class, and I think quantifying that is a critically important contribution to the debate. That doesn't mean that they're going to solve the fiscal challenges created by the baby booms, but they'll certainly be part of the solution, and that's good.
Myers says it'll be good if he can get Congress thinking that way and focusing on turning waves of immigrants into a pool of future workers. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.